Good evening. I'm your host, Aaron Rittmaster. Welcome to the Man Cave, where joining me tonight for Diz Dad's podcast number 198 are John Arthur.
Hey, everybody.
Don Donfris.
How's everybody doing?
And Barry Summer.
Good evening, everyone.
So tonight on the podcast, we're continuing this year's Bunk Madness Walt Disney World Resort Tournament. This time we're looking at the Downtown Disney area resorts, and we'll be narrowing those resorts down to one resort that will advance to the championship round here in a couple of weeks. But before we get into that debate, I do want to once again thank our podcast sponsor, Fairytale Journeys, an authorized Disney travel planner. Next time your family is considering a vacation to Disney World, Disneyland, on the Disney Cruise Line, or even one of those other themed entertainment resort destinations, a Fairytale Journeys travel agent would love to help take the stress out of planning and let you just enjoy the fun. So you can check them out at fairytalejourneys.com. And I also want to mention here before we get in, We've still got space. We'd love to have people join us on the Diz Dad's Dream Cruise. We're going to be sailing on the Disney Dream on June 22nd, 2015. So we're still about a year away. Plenty of time to pay off that trip. If you make your deposit now, you lock in the rates. Rates are much better early than they are if you wait and try and join us down the road. So just drop an email to us. There's a link on the DizDads.com page to the Dream Cruise, and you can get your no-obligation quote and just see whether it's possible for you to swing it to join us, because I think it's going to be a lot of fun, won't it, Barry?
It's going to be epic.
We are now at 10 families. We did have one that had to drop out. We're at 10 families. We'd love to have more. We're looking at booking some special event stuff on board that will be, you know, just with our group. And, there will be enough teenage kids, too, that I think we'll even be able to offer some babysitting to group members.
The wheels
free
are
of charge, of course, just for the experience.
Yeah. The wheels are spinning.
Wheels are spinning. That's right. All right, so let's jump on in to our resort tournament. Just to review kind of the way we do this real quickly, we'll have, give somebody an opportunity to make the case for one of the two resorts in a matchup. Then somebody will get a chance to make a case for the other resort. Be a little bit of discussion, and then I'll ask for votes. People will cast their votes. I only vote to make or break a tie. So if somebody abstains and doesn't want to vote in a particular matchup, I can vote and break a tie. Or if there's a one vote difference, I can vote to make a tie. If that happens, we'll throw the resolution of that to our listening audience. Also, one note that I want to make sure that everybody's aware of, if we were just choosing the cushiest resort stay, or the best resort experience, it would kind of unfairly skew this probably towards the deluxe resorts. But we really want to consider everything. We want to consider not just the luxury feel of the resort, but the value of the experience and what you get for the money it costs, because there's a big range here between the resorts we're going to be talking about in terms of what you're going to pay. And that really needs to be part of the calculus. So everybody understand what we're doing here?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, in that case, we're going to jump in with a discussion. This is our play-in match. And the short stick was drawn by Saratoga Springs in the draw here. They're in the play-in match against really sort of a group of hotels. We lumped together the Downtown Disney Good Neighbor hotels as sort of, one entry in the tournament. And they're squaring off against Saratoga Springs.
We've stayed there. I guess I need to qualify this by saying every time we stayed there, it's been on DVC points. So I have no idea what rack rates are, sure, or what type of discounts are available. But all of our stays have been on DVC, which is it's our home resort. It's the largest of all the DVC deluxe resorts, which is good and bad for it. Good, in fact, in the fact that you usually always have availability there. There's just so many rooms to fill that when all the other DVC resorts fill up, you can pretty much always count on Saratoga having a room available. Bad by the fact that it is so spread out that if you get one of the farther buildings from the main, you know, lobby area, which is where the majority of the food is, you know, one of the feature pools is there. It's a heck of a walk, or you have to wait at one of the outlying bus stops to take one of the internal resort transportation buses up to the front. It's not that bad. I mean, luckily none of my family is you know, has any type of mobility issues, so, you know, we can handle the walk. So I'd say you're no more than, you know, a 10 or 15 minute stroll, you know, through some very beautiful, you know, landscaped gardens to get to the front or any of the main areas. It's kind of divided into two sections of the resort. The first one is the typical Saratoga Springs, New York sort of styled, you know, resort hotels. Separate buildings, each with, I'd say, maybe 16 or 20 rooms in them, three stories tall. Okay. And then the other half is the Treehouse Villas, which was sort of open as a phase two. Those were originally part of the Disney Institute, I think, and they were completely refurbed. And there's about 60 of them over there now, where they're all three-bedroom, I believe, villas, full kitchen, two-bath. I think they sleep in the neighborhood of 10.
I think officially they sleep, it's either 9 or 11.
Okay.
It's an odd number for some reason.
Yeah. We stayed in them once. Those are really nice. You don't share a wall with anybody else. In fact, if you look out at your windows, it's going to be a bunch of trees between you and the next villa. So you really have that nice reclusive feel and you know, isolation to it, which is, you know, pretty nice sometimes when you're in a crowded theme park all day. If you want to take a day off, you know, you're pretty much out in the woods almost by yourself, it seems like. They do have their own pool over there. Not a major feature pool, but, you know, a nice quiet pool. Dining. You want me to head in the dining right away?
Yeah, I mean, sure. I think it's important to know what's available.
Yeah. The quick service there is Artist's Palette, not to be confused with Artist's Point. I'm not sure why they named them so similarly, because I can never figure out which is which. But that one always reminds me of like a mini Sunshine Seasons from Epcot, just with the nice variety of food there and the quality of it. I mean, it's not just burgers and fries. You know, you've got the nice sandwiches, salads, soups, things like that over there. Sit-down restaurant is the Turf Club. Steaks, I believe, and seafood. I haven't eaten there, but I've heard good things about it.
Right.
And a lot like Saratoga itself, it's pretty much always has availability. So it's not like it's a real hard ADR to get, but I have heard that, you know, they do have some of the better steaks on property. So, also being right there on the Lake Buena Vista golf course, the pro shop is right there at Saratoga Springs. So if you do feel the urge to sneak away for 18 holes from the family, it's a nice place to play.
All right. Sounds good. You know, the downtown Disney hotels, I guess I'll take a stab at those. They are literally across the street from downtown Disney, just sort of the opposite side of downtown Disney from where, you know, Saratoga Springs is. And the thing that kind of makes them so different is obviously that they're not Disney-owned hotels. And that means that they have a completely different set of amenities from the ones that you get for staying at a Disney resort. So let's start with the things that you don't get, because, I mean, that's an issue. You don't get Magical Express transportation. You don't get, at most of the resorts, extra magic hours. You don't get, at most of the resorts, you know, the use of magic bands now. And those are downsides.
Well, you also don't get the bus transportation to the parks.
Well, you don't get the transportation.
Yeah, it's from what I understand, it's a couple buses in the morning, maybe a few in the afternoon, then a few more in the evening.
Right.
It's not the every 20 minutes to half hour that a Disney hotel is going to have.
Right. Yeah, there's shuttle service that runs to the parks. It's less frequent than you would get from one of the Disney-owned hotels, but there is transportation offered. And once you get onto Disney property, obviously you can continue to use the Disney, you know, the resort transportation on the resort. the real big, you know, the one big advantage to the Downtown Disney resorts are that a couple of things really. One is that you can find some really great rates at Downtown Disney resorts. They're not always a lot cheaper than on property, but particularly during off season times, they discount pretty heavily and you can save some money that way. There's a little give and take because, you know, sometimes you're paying a resort fee, you're paying parking fees and things like that. On the other hand, some of them may include, you know, a free continental breakfast. So it there's some give and take there, and you really kind of have to do the math to figure out, you know, where you're going to save money. The other thing, though, is that many of these hotels are associated with national chains. So there are 7 resort hotels that are in that Downtown Disney resort area. And of those hotels, they include a Best Western Hotel, a DoubleTree Suites, a Hilton, a Holiday Inn, a Wyndham. There's a newer hotel that it's actually an old hotel that got a refurb called B Resort. I'm not sure. I was just checking up on that to see if I could tell what chain it's affiliated with, and it's not readily apparent who they're affiliated with. You know, the key here really is that aside from Buena Vista Palace and B Resort, all of those other Downtown Disney hotels are associated with national chains. So if you travel for work and collect Hilton points or Holiday Inn points or Wyndham points, you can use those kind of points to book at the Downtown Disney Resort hotels. The only other place you can do that on Disney property is the Swan and Dolphin. So, you know, if you've been collecting those kind of points, then there's an opportunity maybe for some major savings on your hotel cost. At least in terms of, you know, the cash outlay involved. You also have some opportunities to get at a much better rate than you could on property some room types. In particular, things like the suites at the DoubleTree Suites are just not going to be available on Disney property in the same price range. Similarly, some of the rooms are going to be just larger. You may pay a little more than you would pay at a value resort. You'll probably pay about what you would pay to stay at a moderate resort, but the rooms are going to be closer in size to the rooms at a deluxe resort in some cases. So it does require you to do a little extra homework because, you know, you've got to kind of search through. It can be difficult to get information. All of these resorts have restaurants. The Hilton has a Benihana in it. You know, restaurants that you're pretty probably familiar with in some cases. So they've got restaurants. The restaurants are a little less expensive than on property at Disney, so you can maybe save some money there as well. And, you know, you really are a stone's throw from Downtown Disney, although I don't recommend you throw stones. The security people get cranky about that. You've heard a little bit about Downtown Disney hotels. You've heard some things about Saratoga Springs. Let's go to Don for the first vote and explanation for why.
I would say I would go Saratoga Springs just because the Disney amenities, and you're in the Disney magic. You're in the you know, you get that whole feel. You could take advantage of, you know, the Disney amenities. You know, I think, you know, we've looked at it a couple different times, and to me, that outweighs some of the savings that you would get, and sure. It's just the whole feel for it. So, okay. That would be my vote.
Sounds good. So we have one vote for Saratoga Springs. John, let's bounce over to you.
Yeah, I'm with Don. I'm going to go Saratoga Springs as well. I think we all. Being in the Disney theming is obviously kind of the obvious one for some of us, you know, but there's just a lot more the amenities that we've talked about, the Magical Express, all that puts that over the top. I don't know if we mentioned Saratoga Springs has the spa on site and those activities that are right there. It's just a better all-around set of amenities for a family. The transportation and all that makes it certainly the one I would pick.
Okay. So that's two votes for Saratoga Springs. Barry?
Yeah, I'm going to go Saratoga Springs, too. I know the Downtown Disney Good Neighbors, you know, have their place. In fact, I know several people who, like, when they drive there, you know, they'll stay there for one night before they start their vacation, just kind of depending how they don't want to spend the money on a Disney hotel for a night that they're, you know, just arriving in the middle of the evening or whatever. So they'll get a hotel there, then they'll go check into wherever they actually want to stay for their week. so, yeah, and then not to mention the close proximity and the boats available to Downtown Disney from Saratoga. It's a nice little relaxing trip. So we'll make it 3-0 Saratoga.
All right. Well, 3-0 for Saratoga means that I don't get a vote at all. But I think you all made the right decision. You know, there are a few special circumstances where maybe Downtown Disney makes some sense, particularly if you're talking about, you know, a situation where you need that suite and, you know, the price of a one-bedroom at a place like Saratoga or Old Key West is just, you know, out of your price range. Okay, you know, maybe Downtown Disney makes sense. Other than that, I'm with Don. I think that the extra amenities and with John, the extra activities really put the Disney Resort hotels over the top. So, so Saratoga Springs will advance, and we'll come back to them in a minute. But we're going to go to the other side of the Downtown Disney, soon-to-be Disney Springs Lagoon, and talk about the Louisiana-themed resorts. Head-to-head here, Port Orleans Riverside and Port Orleans French Quarter. And let's see, who wants to take a stab at defending the honor of Port Orleans French Quarter?
I'll take French Quarter.
All right, Don. Sell us on the French Quarter.
This has always been our favorite resort. It's smaller than Riverside. And in that, I love that because you're close to the main building. No matter where you are, it's only a few-minute walk to get to the main building. So it's great that way. I love the theming there. The French Quarter theming, I think it's very well carried out from the feel that you get into the main building. And then when you're walking the quote-unquote streets to get to your rooms, it just has this great feel for being there. The pool is awesome. I miss that they don't – the one negative is that they don't have their own sit-down restaurant. I don't know why they don't – why they closed that restaurant. We always enjoyed it when we did stay there. And then, you know, the food court is basically the same on both. But I just – we just love the feel of it there. We just love the New Orleans feel. At night, you get a nice evening, you walk around the grounds. It just feels great there. So that is my vote.
All right. And, you know, one thing that does stand out about French Quarter's food court that we can't leave out is that it makes fresh hot beignets at breakfast.
I can't believe I forgot that because my wife and daughter die for those. So.
It's not just breakfast. We've gone over there.
Yeah, you could get them any time of day. Yeah. And they're made fresh right when you order them. And, those are except that you do have to remember you are going to be wearing powdered sugar for a little bit afterwards.
Yeah, I've tried to cover my son in napkins before to try and prevent it. It doesn't work. Doesn't matter how many you use.
No, it gets everywhere. It's like glue. Yeah.
Toss down a couple of beignets, hop in the pool, you're good to go.
There you go.
All right. So there's the case for French Quarter, smaller, a little more intimate, you know, just one bus stop. Everything's closer to the central building. John, defend Riverside.
Well, Riverside's a fantastic resort, too. I guess while we're on the subject of beignets, you're close enough to walk to the French Quarter food court and get them in the morning. So that could probably be taken as a positive for Riverside too. But it's a really awesome resort, kind of themed. Whereas French Quarter is the more downtown area of New Orleans. This is more Riverside's more the rural Louisiana area and those kind of things. The pool complex, the Old Man Island, is really awesome at Riverside. We loved it when we were there. Unlike French Quarter, it does have a table service restaurant, Boatwrights. It's not one of the top tier table services on property, but it's solid. It's nice to have if that's the resort you're staying at and you just want something to sit down and have a nice meal. It is available there. The food court is, again, like many of the resort's food courts, pretty typical food with a couple of twists to make them fit into the theme of the resort. I will say one of the new things about Riverside, they do have those royal guest rooms are a great positive for this place, for the themed like the princesses. And so obviously for an upcharge, you can get one of those. But it's a nice option to have there at Riverside. And then kind of the last thing, I think they've got the River Roost Lounge. They've got the Yeehaw Bob Show is a fun, really a hoot to go listen to and fun, a fun evening there. In the lounge at Riverside. So the one maybe negative, it's a much bigger resort than French Quarter. There's more walking, there's more bus stops, and so it can get a little large if you're doing some of that. You can be a little further away from the food court and from the main areas. But other than that, it's a great resort.
Yeah, and you know, one thing I think we've kind of glossed here a little bit, French Quarter is more frequently excluded from discount offers than Riverside is. Now, we did just this last free dining offer. Both Riverside and French Quarter were excluded. But that's the first time that's happened, at least that I've seen in at least the last 3 years. Usually, Riverside remains available for the discount, and French Quarter gets excluded, mostly just because of its size. You know, there's just not – it's not worth it to make a few rooms available under the discount because they'd be gone immediately. It's a smaller resort, and it tends to book up anyway. So to me, I think that that's one thing you have to keep in mind too, is that if you're, you know, booking early one of these two resorts and you're hoping to be able to apply a discount that might open, you know, later on – your better gamble is probably Riverside because French Quarter is much more likely to be excluded. And the other thing that we didn't, I think, mention or give enough attention to with Riverside is, remember that you've also got the Alligator Bayou rooms that accommodate five with the new Murphy beds.
Are they Murphy beds or are they trundle beds?
They've replaced the trundles that slid under the bed with sort of a mini Murphy bed.
Okay.
It folds down from the TV cabinet.
All right.
It's new. It's just in the last 2 years. That they've added those, and it's really the only option for a family of five, or it's the least expensive option for a family of five, really.
Right.
You can do the Fort Wilderness cabins that'll accommodate six, or you can do some of the deluxe resorts that'll accommodate a fifth person because they've got the day bed. But the least
or the new animation,
right? Or out of animation suites. But to accommodate five, the least expensive option is those Alligator Bayou rooms that accommodate five.
Mm-hmm.
So all right, we've gone through kind of strengths and weaknesses of each of the Port Orleans resorts. Barry, I'm going to let you vote first. Which of the Port Orleans properties advances?
Well, I've got to say I've never actually been to Riverside. I have visited French Quarter a couple of times, one time to get some beignets and use the pool. Another time we were down there for a friend's Disney wedding, and the groomsmen and all that stuff were hanging out at a French Quarter room, so I have been in it, and they're very nice rooms. I do really like the theming, how it looks like you're wandering right down Bourbon Street amongst all the different buildings there. But as a family of five, if I weren't to stay DVC, I think I would have to stay Riverside. So I'll vote Riverside.
Okay. So that's one vote for Riverside. Don, let's go to you. You spoke up for French Quarter initially. Are you still convinced?
I'm that's mine. That's I vote for French Quarter.
Okay. All right, so we got one vote for Riverside, one vote for French Quarter. John, you still in Riverside's corner?
Yeah, I'm still at Riverside. I think this is really close because it's difficult because these two resorts they're obviously right next to each other. You can use amenities back and forth. The key factor for me on this is if you're traveling when you need discounts, you're often going to be able to get those at Riverside, or at least in the past you have. When you can't at French Quarter, yet you're still right there to use some amenities at French Quarter if you want to, and so that's really the deciding factor for me.
All right, so we've got two votes for Riverside, and we have one vote for French Quarter. I'm going to be a problem child here. I'm actually going to cast my vote for French Quarter and make a tie.
All right.
And this is going to be interesting. It's the first time we've done this on a live show where we've had a tie before.
Preliminary round, yeah.
Yeah, in a preliminary round. So we'll see how we handle this when we get there. I'll keep thinking about how to handle it while we move along. But what it comes down to for me with French Quarter versus Riverside is that I appreciate the compactness of French Quarter. Riverside is really spread out, and it was – you know, my wife discovered the last time we stayed there that it's really easy to get turned around while you're walking around in Riverside and end up walking, you know, twice as far as you have to. And it can be pretty far to get to places. You know, so I like the compactness of French Quarter. I like one bus stop. The internal bus stops I'm not a big fan of, which you have to deal with in Riverside. And when it comes to sharing amenities, I think that it's easier to share amenities, you know, from the compact resort to the spread out resort as opposed to vice versa. You know, if you're staying on the fringes of Riverside, if you're staying, you know, in one of the farther buildings of Riverside, it's a hike to get to French Quarter. Whereas at French Quarter, there's really no place you're going to be that's that far away from the amenities at Riverside. So I think when it all comes down, I'm going to vote for French Quarter, make the tie, and we'll figure out a way to break that tie in the next, you know, 5 or 10 minutes.
I'm posted to Facebook real quick. I'll put a poll out there. We'll see if anyone can grab it quick.
All right. Meanwhile, we'll go ahead and move on. We've got the other side of this regional bracket to resolve, and we have Saratoga Springs that has advanced against the Good Neighbor Hotels already. Facing off against its DVC resort sort of sister, Old Key West. Now, Old Key West is the original vacation club resort. Saratoga Springs is literally just down the road from it, both in that downtown Disney area. We've heard some about Saratoga Springs already. Barry, you want to give us the lowdown on Old Key West?
I'd love to. I wasn't paying attention, but Old Key West is the original DVC resort. I'm not sure if you said that.
I did, but that's all right.
Okay, good. It sounded familiar. Like Saratoga Springs, it is pretty spread out. I know there's at least 40 buildings. So I know we've been building 43 a couple of times. While it is spread out, it doesn't feel too bad. It's laid out pretty decently, where it's a decent walk. Unlike Saratoga Springs, that's got the larger buildings, Old Key West has much smaller villa buildings. They're only two stories. And while they have, I think, 6 or 8 villas in each one, just with the way the architecture is laid out, they don't feel like they're that big. They feel almost like they're individual, you know, villa buildings or villa like cottages. Themed after the Florida Keys, with lots of pastel colors, blues and pinks and greens, lots of corals. They are the largest of the rooms. I know we've been in a studio a couple times, which almost feels obviously is a lot larger than the other DVCs and like the other deluxe resorts. And then they're also laid out differently, rather than, you know, you kind of walk in, there's a bathroom on one side and a couple of beds in front of you. They're almost in like a triangle shape, which kind of gives a bigger feel to the room. And similarly with the one bedrooms, the architecture really kind of makes them feel much more open than a bunch of the other DVC 1 and 2 bedroom villas. Obviously, it's got a nice pool complex like most of them do. Dining options, the sit-down there is Olivia's. Pretty Florida Keys type of fare with a lot of heavy on the seafood. Also, a quick service right next to the pool there, the Goods Food to Go. Much more typical, quick service burgers, sandwiches, things like that. But we've stayed there at least 3 times now. And typically, and I'm not sure what the prices of a cash guest we'd be paying there, but of the DVC resorts, you can typically get the best deals or the best, value for your points at Old Key West.
Okay. So that's the case for Old Key West. We did talk about Saratoga Springs earlier. I think one of the things that is worth mentioning here when we're comparing Saratoga Springs and Old Key West is that Saratoga Springs is substantially newer than Old Key West. Old Key West did get a refresh in about 2010.
Yep. They're actually still in the middle of kind of doing them building by building.
Okay.
Where I think like all of the inside has been refreshed as far as new, carpet, furniture, things like that. They're kind of going around building by building and still refreshing the outsides.
Right. Okay. But Saratoga Springs has had some more substantial upgrades or refurbishments more recently. If I recall correctly, they added a quiet pool recently. And then obviously the Treehouse Villa has opened a little more recently.
Actually, Saratoga opened. It wasn't they took a quiet pool and refurbed into a feature pool.
Oh, that's right. That's right. They added basically a second feature pool.
Yeah, they put in a slide there and another like quick service, walk a pool snack type of dining option.
Okay, so I think that's worth mentioning. And the Treehouse Villas, I don't think we can overstate the value of those. They're really a unique experience. That are almost like, as you were mentioning when you talked about Saratoga, a different resort within the resort, because they are each individually sort of isolated, so you get a little more intimate feeling. The inside is gorgeous of those Treehouse Villas.
Yes.
I can't speak highly enough of the way that the Imagineers handled the design of the inside of those villas. It's just completely unique, and it's not something you're going to find anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we talked about Saratoga. We talked about Old Key West. We need to kind of collect some votes here. So, John, you're up first.
My vote here, I would go to Saratoga Springs over Old Key West. I think just having kind of the options of the Treehouse Villas, the regular rooms, you've got some more options as far as what you want to do there. Having 2 feature pools is a really it's just kind of nice to have that change up ability. Having the spa right there, if that's something you want to do, I think Old Key West is a good option as well. I think the pros for Saratoga Springs are a little more for what I would enjoy.
Okay. That's one vote for Saratoga Springs. Don, how about you?
I'm kind of torn only in that because I've stayed at Old Key West, and what we liked about it, the size of the rooms are just really big. But I think the amenities at Saratoga Springs kind of outweigh that. So I'm going to go with Saratoga Springs as well.
Okay, so we've got 2 votes for Saratoga Springs. Barry, you've kind of talked about the virtues of each of them.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you headed?
It's a tough one. Like I said, I own it at Saratoga, so I'm fairly partial to that. But our last 2 trips, we've stayed at Old Key West. The same Lake Buena Vista Golf Course sort of snakes its way through both of them. So a good chunk of the rooms at Old Key West are golf course view, so sit there on the balcony with a nice cold beverage and making fun of people trying to duff at the ball. I'm gonna go with Old Key West. Just the smaller villas or the smaller buildings really makes it feel more intimate, and they have a lot of they're very lush vegetation around there. the internal resort transportation we've never had a problem with. All the buses make their way up, stop at the main hospitality house before they exit the resort. So if you want to get off there, you can. Otherwise, you catch the next bus and head out. And then just the size of the rooms and the decor of the rooms really fits a little better with our style. So I'm voting Key West.
All right. I think that's one of the things that maybe we didn't talk about enough, and that is that, you know, there's a section of Saratoga Springs where if you didn't bring your own car with you, it would just be a huge pain to get around.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're so far away from the main building that, you know, you really wouldn't have any choice but to wait for an internal bus, you know, just to do things like, you know, go to a restaurant. And I think that Old Key West is set up in a little bit more of a kind of a horseshoe almost. I mean, it still stretches out, but I think there are more buildings that are close to the center, if that makes sense. And so I think it's a little more navigable. I also like the fact that the way it's laid out, you really can park sort of in the section where your building is. And so the actual, you know, moving around there is a little easier. And having done the podcast for, DDC One, at Old Key West, I was blown away with the size of that two bedroom, at Old Key West. I mean, it was huge. And I've had clients stay in them with, you know, they're really easy when you've got, you know, parents and kids and grandparents, for example, because there's plenty of room for little ones, all that stuff. So all that said, I do lean towards Old Key West, which means if I vote, I make a tie again.
No, I was teetering between the two of them before. And, I think if I had my druthers, I would change my vote to Old Key West. So if it's allowed, I will change my vote.
it's allowed. We'll allow it. Persuasion is permitted. All right. So Riverside advances, Old Key West advances. We now have our regional final here. Port Orleans Riverside versus Old Key West. And it seems to me that what we really have here is an interesting matchup, because the question, I think, has to come down to the value proposition between, you know, the DVC resort, Old Key West, and Port Orleans, which is a moderate resort. So I'm just going to go ahead and start collecting votes. And as you vote, talk about why you cast your vote the way you cast it, and see whether you can, you know, persuade the people who are following you. So, I don't know, Don, I'm going to put you on the spot here.
Put me on the spot.
One of yours advanced and one didn't. So
that's okay. I'm going to vote for I did it again.
Riverside or Old Key?
Riverside.
Okay.
And it simply comes down to, for us, we tend to stay in the moderates or even the values. And it's mostly because we don't really hang around the hotel much. We love the amenities at the smaller, you know, at the lesser expensive holes. It's good enough for us to deal with. If we hung around the room more, it would probably be one of the upper ones. But for us, we're at the parks, doing stuff. We might swim a little bit here or there, you know, take a break here or there, or even in the evening. But beyond that, it's a bed for us. So
okay,
I'm sticking with Riverside.
All right, so that's one vote for Riverside. Barry, how about you? Your family of five can be accommodated at either place.
That's true. I just ran a real quick price comparison, cash wise, and just, you know, it says Port Orleans Riverside starts at $191. I'm not sure if that's what that includes or what time of year that is or whatever it is, but and then Old Key West is like $327. So not an insignificant difference there, you know, no. Per night. So, I mean, honestly, if I was a cash guest, there's no way I'd pay $327 a night for a hotel. No matter what really the amenities are, that's just not the type of person I am. However, being DVC, you know, that easily puts me into Old Key West. Like I said, we've stayed there several times and enjoy it. So I'm going to have to stick with my – like I said, I voted for Riverside because I had a family of five. However, I am a family of five with a DVC contract. So my vote's going to go Old Key West.
Okay. Good point. Good point. So we have one vote each for Riverside and Old Key West. John, it's on your shoulders now.
Well, I kind of – I like Barry too. I think as he was doing it, I was pulling up a price comparison too. And I again my argument was going to be very similar to his, except we are not DVC holders. And so I think that would probably lead us to Riverside. I think Old Key West, if you're a DVC owner, is a great option. But I know there's even if you're going to rent, if you're going to pay cash for a deluxe resort, I think as I was looking at my price comparison here, I noticed even a place like Wilderness Lodge is $289 starting tonight versus $327 at Old Key West. And so if I were going to pay cash, there may be a place like that instead of Old Key West. So my vote will go with Riverside there since I'm not a DVC owner. That's what I would select.
Sure. You know, I mean, I guess I got to consider whether I want to make a tie here. To me, the thing that would, you know, push me in that direction, if anything, is the greater number of room configuration options at Old Key West. You know, not only can it accommodate a family of five, just like Riverside can, but it can also accommodate a family of, you know, seven, eight, nine, which Port Orleans can't, at least not in a single room.
No.
And so that I think is an interesting issue and something that does, you know, speak for Old Key West. But I think that when I try to compare them sort of feature for feature, ultimately, I would agree that Riverside ought to advance. You know, once you get outside of the room, and if we're just talking about the room, Old Key West probably has a lead. Category by category, it's got the largest rooms of any of the Disney resorts. But if you're looking at the rest of the resort, I think that at Riverside, you've got, you know, Yeehaw Bob's show and the River Roost lounge there that is just a more fun place to be hanging out than the bar at Old Key West.
You can also take a boat to downtown Disney.
Right. Well, you can do that from either of the resorts.
I didn't know you could from...
Yeah, that's available from any of these, actually, resorts we've been talking about. But,
okay.
You know, I think you've got that going for you. You've got that ability to use either the Riverside food court or walk across to the French Quarter food court, which does have a few different things, including beignets, which are my kids' favorites. And so I think ultimately, you know, when you weigh out the value proposition, there are enough other things going on at Riverside for the substantially lower price that I'm not going to worry about trying to make a tie here. I'm going to let Riverside advance. And we have a winner. We have the first moderate resort to advance to the championship round.
Woo-woo!
With Port Orleans Riverside getting out of the downtown Disney region. So, just a quick recap here. This has been the tightest region, I think, that we've had under consideration so far. Saratoga Springs easily survived the... you know, play-in matchup against the Good Neighbor Hotels in Downtown Disney, but was unable to survive the Old Key West challenge when Don flip-flopped his vote, was convinced that Old Key West was the better option. On the opposite side of the bracket, it was a tie initially between Riverside and French Quarter. The guys in the Facebook group pushed Riverside over the top by a nose in a very close vote in the group as well. And then in our championship, Riverside held up to Old Key West and became the first moderate resort in the tournament to advance to the championship round. So you heard what we thought about these resorts. We'd love to hear from you. You can email us at podcast@disdads.com. visit our blog, DizDads.com, tweet us at DizDadsPodcast on Twitter, and participate in the discussions in our forums at boards.dizdads.com. We've also got a Facebook group or a Facebook page for the podcast at facebook.com/DizDadsPodcast. Until next time, I've been Aaron Ripmaster with John Arthur.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Don Donfris.
Have a great night, everybody.
And Barry Summers.
Oh, I wasn't paying attention. Are we done? Bye.
Brought to you by Fairy Tale Journeys, an authorized Disney travel planner. Let us help you put together your next magical Disney vacation. Find us at fairytalejourneys.com. Let us sweat the details so you don't have to.
I'm the one from Chicago, you know. I'm the one that can buy votes.